That was a wonderful song and a beautiful picture of how we're supposed to live the Christian life. And it's sad that a lot of times today that truth is relative, or truth doesn't really matter, or truth is whatever you say it is. And it's kind of a sad place we live today. But I'm thankful that God called us here together to listen to his truth and his word. I was reminded of how much we need Jesus this past week. I mean, how many of you saw the news with that shooting down in Atlanta with those Asian American women at the spa? And I'm just reminded just the need that we have for that we need for Jesus in this world. And today I'm preaching on Isaiah 53, 1 through 6. And so this picture of this you know, what Jesus paints here, or Isaiah paints, is the forthcoming Messiah. And so in chapter five, verse five, Isaiah says that by his wounds we are healed. And I think all of us, as I preached last week, are affected in some way of something that goes in our lives, whether it be sickness, mental illness, or emotional like hurt. I think it's appropriate right now we just pray and ask the Lord just to step in and just be a light in our dark world. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this congregation, God. I'm thankful for your goodness. I'm thankful for that you are the Prince of Peace, God, that you're the Prince of Peace in this chaotic world that's full of war, it's full of disaster, it's full of just pain, emotional pain, whatever, spiritual pain, God, but you are the Redeemer. You are our Heavenly Father, God, and that you are the truth, the way, and the life, God. And I pray that that be evident today as I speak, God, that be evident as we leave this place, that that your truth would speak through our lives, God, that that we just leave here refreshed and we'd be on fire for you, Lord. And when people say, Lord, oh, that's crap, whatever about you, Lord, that we'd stand up for what's right. And I pray that we'd be soldiers of your word, Father. That's what I pray. Amen. So like last week, I'll be in Isaiah, and I was wrestling this time of year, you know, because Easter and Palm Sunday is coming up next 2 weeks, and it's really a difficult time for pastors to prepare because, like, oh, we got Palm Sunday and Easter, it's pretty straightforward we can preach on, but the week before, I'm like, God, like, what am I going to preach on? And he's like, well, Matt, you've been in Isaiah, preaching Isaiah. So I'm like, well, okay, so I'm going to be in Isaiah. And so the context last week, if you were here, we learned that the prophet Isaiah is prophesying during the exile, or right before the exile, sorry, in around, like, you know, late 600 BC. And it's right before Assyria, the Northern Empire, conquers Babylon. I get it mixed up. Anyway, it's right before Israel gets conquered and taken into exile in Assyria. And it's right before the kingdom of Judah gets conquered and later on taken into Babylon. And so Isaiah is prophesying, you know, that Israel and Judah are going to be taken into exile because of their sins against God and worshiping false leaders, or like false leaders and false idols. But there's a huge but. I love the but in Scripture. And it means something greater is going to happen. And that greater is about to happen is Isaiah 53, the coming Redeemer, the coming King. So if you turn with me, we'll be in Isaiah 53, verses 1 through 6. And it's funny, you know, we read this chapter, you know, so often around the Holy Week, that it's easy to see that what is Jesus the text is talking about. But let's just prepare for a moment that we know what Jesus is talking about, but let's read it with clean eyes this morning and see that what Isaiah is going to mention. Isaiah 53, verses 1 through 6. I'll be out of the New Living Translation this morning. Who has believed our message? To whom has the Lord revealed his powerful arm? My servant grew up in the Lord's presence like a tender green shoot, like a root in dry ground. There was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance, nothing to attract us to him. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him, and he looked the other way. He was despised, and we did not care. It was our weaknesses he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. We thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment from his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion. He was crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole, and he was whipped so we could be healed. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. We have left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. The reading of the word. And so in the first couple of verses, you see, you know, talks about the Lord being, you know, not majestic, not being beautiful. And so the depiction of the Messiah that the Jews longed for was this conquering king. They wanted a savior that was a militant leader, because Israel had been, you know, time to time and conquered by various kings. They were tired, basically fed up of getting conquered by different armies of the world. And but they're missing the point. They're missing what Isaiah was doing. He was pointing, well, yeah, you know, God, Jesus will come again as a conquering king later on, you know, when he comes back at the second coming. But they're missing the point that a humble king that was better was pointing to the truth they needed was coming in a short while. And so that was what's happening there. And so in verse 1, it talks about the Lord growing up as a root, the Savior growing up as a root. What that meant was Jesus was going to grow up in stature, religious stature, of not only holiness and he'd grow in strength, but again, they were expecting this humble king to be this mighty conqueror, you know, kind of like a Roman centurion. But they missed that this meek, mild Jesus was going to be the Savior. So just, it's kind of ironic that the Jews missed the whole point. So despite our behaviors, the rejection of his prophecy and teachings, Christ bore our burdens and sorrows anyway. This is our first point in verses 3 through 4. In verses 3 through 4, we see a pretty graphic description of Christ's death, the agony of his death, where he sweated blood over the anguish and sorrow of what would take place on the cross. He was an innocent man dying on behalf of the world. The Gospels also tell us the severity of the physical abuse Jesus went through in order to save us. He was physically beaten and whipped by Roman soldiers. He was persecuted verbally and emotionally and physically by the Pharisees and those who follow their mentality. And he also suffered emotionally on our behalf, facing the Father's separation and realizing having to die an innocent death for moral creation. This no doubt placed a toll on him emotionally, mentally, and physically. But yet, he died so we'd be whole again. His blood had to be shed so that our sins could be forgiven. There's a beautiful song by Sidewalk Prophets called I Love You Anyway. And in this song, the main writer talks about his journey with Christ and about how, you know, like despite the sins of the world, our sins, you know, despite us cursing the Lord and everything we laid upon him, he loves us. And there's a lyric in that song that says, I am Judas's kiss. And I'm reminded, Lord, like there's times in my life where I've rejected you and I reject even rejecting that, Lord, I regret, you know, cursing you or whatever, Lord, but I'm grateful that your grace abounds, that even when I mess up or slip up, that you're there for us. And it's a beautiful song, so I challenge you guys to listen to it, but it's called I Love You Anyway by Sidewalk Prophets. And it's just a beautiful reminder of who Christ is, regardless of what you're going through. And there's another lyric in that song that says, I'm the nail in your wrist. And I'm just reminded, like, I know the Lord took our pains and bore our pain of our sin once and for all, but I'm reminded in that moment when we sin, does Jesus still feel the nails? And it's reminded of another song. It's funny how the Lord speaks to me through songs and scripture. It's an old song by Ray Bolt. It's called Feel the Nails. And it's an older song and talking about, does the Lord feel the nails when we sin? And I don't want them to, but I think he does. I think he's reminded of what happens when we, you know, when we sin against him, but yet his love and grace abounds. Romans 6:23 tells us, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. He gave the gift of God, our eternal life through Jesus, because Jesus was willing to humbly submit to the Father and die in a rightful place. I'm so grateful for Jesus today, because we'd be so lost without him. We'd be so entangled in sin, and we'd be so entangled in darkness that we would not know from right from wrong. It's evident today. Look, I just mentioned about that shooting down in Atlanta. It's evident that these people don't really know right from wrong, or a twisted, you know, view of right and wrong. And apparently this guy claimed to be a Christian. Can you just imagine, like, he's proclaiming to know Jesus in Jesus' name and he's shooting people because of some weird religious view. And I just pray today that we'd get our mindset right, that we'd really know truth, because, folks, I think there's coming a day where we're going to be questioning what truth is, and it's coming. So just bear with me. The fact is, God didn't have to send Jesus as the Messiah, the Savior of the world who proclaimed the fullness of the Word. According to John 14:6, we know this verse. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We rightly deserved eternal punishment as a result of the fall of man in Genesis 3. Being human, we're automatically born into sin. I know it's not fair, but we're guilty by association. I've personally fallen short of the glory of God many times in my life. Many times where I've not represented God well. Not represented you guys well, I mean, church as a whole, not you, well. or just bearing the name of Christ well. We've all done this in some shape or form. In some respects, we've all misrepresented and mistreated Jesus, either blatantly or unintentionally. The Pharisees were no different. They belittled him for speaking truth, for preaching the fullness of God, and for being counterculture to the norm of the day. You see, Jesus was willing to go and step out to the outcasts of the world because he saw that they were a son or daughter of the living God. Regardless if they knew him or not, God knew they were created in his image, and he wanted them redeemed and wanted them found. But because he was so different from the culture of the day, the Pharisees were like, well, what are you doing, Jesus? You know, like, why are you acting like that? Why are you being different? And they persecuted him for it. Not only was he rejected from the teachers of the law, the Pharisees, he was also rejected from his own family. He was rejected as a prophet in his hometown, and he was persecuted for being the Son of Man who taught the fullness of God's word. Jesus fulfilled every prophecy about him, yet man's heart was too hard to recognize the Son of Man as the true Messiah. As we prepare for Holy Week, where are you at with Jesus? Do you personally know him? Do you deeply love him enough, or is he just some person you associate with because it's your family tradition? Jesus is so much more than a historical figure, a nice person. He's the Savior of the world. He's the Prince of Peace. The true Messiah came as a suffering servant to die as a propitiation for our sins. What does that mean? Christ paid a debt we could not pay and died a death we could not die. Why? Because God so loved us. John 3:16 tells us, God so loved the world that he gave his only Son to die for our sins. I'm often in awe about the tender heart of God. They're just and righteous, but the caring heart of his Son to die a loving death for us. And no doubt paying God to give up Jesus, but he did it because he loved us beyond our comprehension. And in second half of verse 4 through 5, we see that though the world thought Jesus' troubles were of his own doing, when in reality he was being punished on our own behalf. A.W. Tozer in The Love of God once said, love is also an emotional identification. It considers nothing its own, but gives all freely to the object of its affection. We see this constantly in our world of men and women. A younger mother who had just given birth to a new baby, and far from complaining and nursing him, the mother gazes down at her child with shining eyes, with happiness and pride. Acts of selfless service are common to love. Christ said of himself in John 15:13, greater love hath no man than this, than lay down his life for his friends. In verses 4 through 5 we read, however, it was our sickness that he himself bore, and our pains that he carried. Yet we ourselves assumed that he was afflicted, and he was pierced for our offenses, some say translations say transgressions. He was crushed for our wrongdoings, our iniquities. The punishment of our well-being was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Isaiah is stating here the coming Messiah would bear all the sorrows, sicknesses, and the consequences of mankind's sin. However, many Jews missed the mark in understanding what Isaiah was talking about. They believed that Jesus brought all this upon himself, specifically claiming to be the Messiah, the King of the Jews. His miracles and teachings that seemed so countercultural were many of the offenses they took against Jesus. Yet, they were very missing the point. The point that Jesus was very much God in teaching the Word of God. While the Jews watched as he took his last breath and brutally mocked him at the cross, they were so blind that they were fine with what they were doing was putting him on the cross. The words that they were cursing against him, the unbelief they had, and the hate they had in their hearts is the reason why Jesus came. Often we read about Christ's death on the cross, and we read it with redeemed eyes as, you know, new Christians, and forget that we were once as bad as the Pharisees who crucified him. We all crucified Jesus. However, through God's redemptive power, he raised his Son to life so we could have eternal life with him. Not only new life, where we no longer are dead to sin, but made a life and to live a life where we can experience emotional, spiritual, and physical wholeness. Take a look at the second part of verse 5. And bear with me as I get back there in a second. Verse 5 says, he was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. As a result of his wounds and being put on the cross, we can have a spiritual, physical, and emotional healing. Though that healing may come in this life or it may not, It'll definitely come the next. However, the Lord, through his death, provided a way for wholeness from our sickness. Perhaps you've come here today with emotional pain, whether it be from current issues with your family, at work, or even this church. We've all experienced wounds that need to be healed. Maybe you need to reconcile with whoever wronged you. Today is the day, friends, to ask God to heal you from your past, because in his death, he promised healing. Healing may not be instantaneous. However, I believe in Jesus Christ as healer, and not only just over physical pain, but spiritual and emotional pain as well. Perhaps you're struggling with spiritual and emotional pain, and you're not sure where God is in all of this. I know our community is grieving right now of the two boys I saw in the paper yesterday. There's two teens that committed suicide, and so I know there's a lot of emotional pain going on in our community. We'll just pray for them as we continue through our day. If you're struggling today, I'd love to pray for you and walk alongside you in your pain and offer hope from Christ. Whether God heals you in this life or not is not a result of a lack of faith. For whatever reason, Christ chooses to heal in this life and will definitely heal us all in the next. However, despite whether he heals in this life or not, he gives us the strength and grace to keep pressing on toward our heavenly goal, the goal of meeting Christ in heaven and spending eternity with him. Paul, who struggled with a thorn in his flesh, we believe some sort of physical ailment, relied on God's strength daily to get him through everyday life. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, and he says, "But he said to me," meaning Christ, "my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on him." Let us then trust in his strength today to get us through our weaknesses. Realize that this was only possible through Christ's death. Henry Nguyen, a well-renowned scholar, once said, "Just as Jesus was identified by his wounds, so are we." This mystery is hard to grasp, but it is often the greatest importance in helping to deal with our own brokenness. When I feel lonely, forgotten, rejected, or despised, I can easily be tempted to respond to these painful experiences with anger, resentment, and a desire for revenge. But if I'm willing to claim my woundedness as my unique way of the resurrection, then I may start caring for my wounds, knowing that they will identify me in my eternal life in God. Caring for my wounds means acknowledging them as revelations of my unique way of being human. Listening to them as teachers help me find my own way to holiness. Sharing them as a source of consolation and comfort, and allowing others to pour oil on them and bind them in times of great pain. Thus, I proclaim my wounds and are not causes for embarrassment, but the source of joy acknowledges my own unique vocation to journey with Jesus and suffering to the glory of God. End quote. Let us today journey through the glory of God and trust his faithfulness in our lives. Our final insight that we receive from the text comes from Isaiah 53, verse 6. While we wrongfully rebelled against God, Jesus died so that we could be forgiven. In verse 6, Isaiah is explaining the human condition of being lost without a shepherd. We all, like sheep, have gone astray in our own little way. We've all pursued our sinful desires, our idols or false truths that make us happy or please us in the moment. Sheep are no different. Without a shepherd, sheep can roam for miles. Without someone to guide them, they're aimlessly hopeless and lost. We are no different. Jesus is no crutch for the human soul, but he's the King of Kings, a friend who died for you and me so we could be a part of his family forever. Scripture tells us again in John 14:6 that he is the only way to the Father. As Christ is our good shepherd, we have a secure path to heaven and have an example of how we should live our lives by. The word every here is meant to encapsulate the fullness of sin, meaning that all sins relate on Christ. Past, present, or future sins, God punished Jesus so we could be forgiven. Romans chapter 3, verses 23 says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God," meaning all, you and me, "and are justified by his grace through the redemption of his Christ and Jesus, whom God put forth as a propitiation for his blood to be received by faith." This verse is showing us how God in his righteousness, his divine forbearance, had passed over his former sins. We all have sinned. However, through the gracious gift of Christ's death and his atonement, we are forgiven and can be made whole once again. Where are you today with your walk with Christ? Are you unsure of this man, Jesus, who Christians call Lord and Savior? Perhaps you've been hurt by religion. Perhaps you're skeptical if God even exists. Perhaps you're skeptical because what's happening in our world today. Or are you a Christian but never gave your life to Christ? Friends, today you can commit your lives to Christ and experience a life far greater than you imagined. Christ is waiting to welcome you home. As we sang earlier this morning, Christ is our rescuer. There's good news for the captive. There's good news for the chained. There's good news for the one who walked away. And I have a true story. My older brother, who struggled with many mental problems and just past issues with family, it took him many years. We took him to church every Sunday, and he willingly went, but it just seemed like nothing was happening. His life wasn't changing. And it took him to have a kid out of wedlock to God get a hold of his life. And I'll never forget, my brother, you know, like in that moment, he said, well, I need to grow up. And it was just funny just seeing the redeemed version of my brother. And we've all seen that in people's lives. Just, it seems like God's slowly peeling the onion, but you never know when people are going to come home to Jesus. So my brother, after 18 years of kind of his living in shame and hurt by, you know, part of his family, not my immediate family, but his other family, came to know Jesus because of someone speaking truth in his life as a young child. And you never know where the Lord's going to take you and lead you in that. So pray for your family. Pray for your friends. But perhaps this is you today. Perhaps you'd like to know how to have a personal relationship with Christ. Friends, if this is where you are, feel free to come see me or one of the elders after service. We would gladly love to walk alongside you in this journey. As we close, let us remember there is redemption for our sins, and it came in the form of Jesus' death and sacrifice on the cross, so that you and I could live in freedom and in grace forever. You and I will slip up. That's just a matter of life and a matter of our sinful nature. But I want you to know that Christ died for those sins, even in the future, and there's reconciliation for us when we mess up, and he offers grace when we confess our sins. Jesus is longing for you to come home, and today's the day for you to come home to Jesus. Is this you today? Then I challenge you to take the leap of faith, and Jesus will meet you where you're at. As I pray, I'd like to invite the worship team up to close with our song, Rescuer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm thankful that you sent your son Jesus to die many years ago, Lord. And as we come upon Holy Week, I'm even more grateful to reflect on what it meant for you to die, what it meant to send Jesus as the only way, Lord. And I remember the biblical story of Abraham, Lord, how you provided a ram in the thicket, Lord, for Isaac to not be sacrificed, Lord. But you were symbolizing in that moment the prophecy of your son Jesus coming to die for our sins, to be the Lamb of God to die for us. And Lord, as we leave this place, I pray that that we just have a renewed relationship with you, God. And I even commit that to you, Lord. And I admit that I've struggled my journey with you, God, because it's easy to go through the motions. It's easy to forget who you are. But I pray, Lord, that we live in such a redeemed way that we would never forget we're a child of God. Lord, that would be our epitome of who we are, Lord, that we are children of the Most High God. Lord, as we close and we sing this song, may it be an offering to you. It's in your name I pray. Amen. Amen.